Hey, friends. Welcome to the Next Step Leadership Podcast, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. I'm Tracy Reynolds, and my partner for the Next Step journey is Chris Maxwell. Together, we hope to inspire, assist, and create the confidence you need to take your next step in your personal growth, spiritual growth, vocation, or even your calling. Thanks for joining us. Well, come on, let's dive into this week's episode of Next Step Leadership. Our special guest today is Stacy Cope. He's the pastor of Tower of Refuge Church in Dublin, Virginia, where he's been since 2009. He's also the owner of Southwest Calibration in Pulaski, Virginia. Stacy and his wife, Sunshine, and their sons live in Pulaski, Virginia. Now, Stacy's written a couple of books. The first one, Untold Testimonies Told, was released in June of 2018. But his second book, From Sheep to Horses, Preparing God's Flock for Battle, was released in 2022. Well, let's join this conversation with Pastor Stacy Cope.
Each conversation we have in Next Step Leadership brings reminders to me of things that are important, but also challenges for things that we need to think about and consider for the future. Tracy and I are excited about our guest today, and I want each of you to listen to his comments and his stories. Tracy, this is a wonderful opportunity for us to learn from those around us in ministry.
Well, any day that you make a new friend is a good day for me. And while I've had an acquaintance with Stacy Cope, I just am so excited to have you with us today, Stacy. Welcome to Next Step Leadership, my friend.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, we want to make sure that our audience knows about you. So if you would do us the favor, just reversing, put it in the review mode and tell us a bit about how we came to know how you came to ministry, to faith in Jesus, to all the things that kind of get us up to speed to today. Would you do that for us?
I'll be happy to. Actually, I'm one of the blessed people in the world that I grew up being a preacher's kid. My dad was called into ministry after an accident of losing his foot being a state trooper on April 1st, 1974. I was 3 months old, and he got rode over by a car. He found Jesus under that car, and shortly later was called into ministry. So I had the privilege of growing up in the church and about God. But one thing that I have learned in growing up about God, you can be taught it all your life. However, I needed to have my own experience with God myself. And it's something I even pray over my four sons now that I've taught them since they were little, but I need God to have an experience with them so they can truly know them for themselves. And so I grew up in church and never wanted to be a minister. Oh my God. I wanted to be a rich businessman. I wanted to be a great tither and take care of a pastor. That was my job. I loved God. I fell in love with him at a young age. At 10 years old, Colwood, West Virginia, gave my heart to God. Of course, like any teenager, ran for a while. Then was called in the ministry when I was 18 or 19 years old, and still was sort of running, trying to tell God, I got better plans for me, and but His plans are always better, and so I surrendered all. And so, like I said, that I was very blessed that I was raised in it. I get to meet a lot of people on a daily basis that didn't have that privilege of growing up in the kingdom of God and being taught about it.
Well, you also are a wonderful businessman. The Lord has blessed you not only as a pastor, you're what's called a bivocational pastor. And I certainly understand that, and so do you, Chris. So we're all on the same team here. Tell us a bit about the business and how that all came to, because your father played a big part in that too, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Like I said, that when he got hurt, he was 28 days from an early retirement from the state police, and there was no American Disability Act, so they just technically let him go. But fast forward 25, 27 years in the future, a bunch of state troopers got together, dad being a pastor for many years and had an okay retirement, but not a great one. They wanted to set him up with a business that would help him since he didn't have that with the state. And it's called Southwest Calibration, calibrating speedometers for people who get speeding tickets. You'd be very surprised how many ministers throughout the conference and area gets tickets, and doctors, lawyers, judges. I mean, it's not just kids. It's all kinds of people. But dad ran it for 10 years, and then he wasn't able to get in the cars anymore and got the honor and privilege to let me take it over. And to God be the glory. Dad will even say that when I took it over in 2014, it went from very small to it's very massive. My customer base is about a 5.5 hour drive daily to get to Air Company. And so we get customers all up and down the East Coast daily. But my favorite thing about it is a dashboard is also my pulpit. I get to meet people from all over the world. And so getting to minister to people, they're not leaving, me when they're trying to get out of tickets. So I get to minister to them at the same time. And even police departments, because now that's their biggest base. Now we're taking care of police departments all over the state so they can write tickets. So, but I just love sharing the gospel behind a dashboard every day. And we get foreigners. I probably get about 12 to 18 foreigners a week. It's crazy. So I get to spread the gospel of God behind my secular job. And that's just, I don't know. I just love what God's done there.
I like hearing about that, Stacy, because there's so many who are in ministry and in a pastoral role who are bivocational. And that can be such a positive thing. It doesn't need to be seen as a negative or I'm just going to keep this bivocational position until my church grows and they can pay me more. No, I mean, it is like important for today's culture. So what are some thoughts from you and your experience related to those who are listening and serving in bivocational roles?
Well, like I said before, I call a dashboard my pulpit because I get to minister from that area. If I can share a small testimony that happened about 3 years ago, it was a year or two before COVID. I had a lady and a gentleman. They were from India, but they were now here in the States. They lived in New Jersey, but he worked in Johnson City, Tennessee. You could tell he was a very wealthy man. Long story short, she had drove down from New Jersey to see him at Johnson City and got a heavy speeding ticket. Unfortunately, had a couple kids in the back seat, so she got even more fines in that area for putting child endangerment. And long story short, when I was calibrating the car, and it was only off by 2 miles an hour. You only have to be off by one to contest a ticket, but they were so scared and nervous because where they were foreigners as well. But I looked at them when it was all said and done. I said, look, I never push my beliefs on anybody. But if you'll let me pray with you, I believe that God, my God, will help you. And they're like, well, we're already paying $24,000 for an attorney fee. And then my eyes just went big. I'm like, what? Attorney's charging you $24,000. There's no way you should be paying that much. I think they were being taken advantage of. So I looked at them and said, hey, if you'll let me pray, I believe I can find an attorney that will help you. And God will lead me that direction. And that woman grabbed my hand immediately and said, I don't care what God you pray to, just pray to your God to get me out of this mess. And when I was younger, I thought I was called into mission. So I lived in Africa went there for a while. Mm-hmm. And when I was in Africa, you weren't allowed to, touch anybody else's, which you shouldn't anyway, anybody else's woman. So I was nervous when she grabbed my hand and I was looking at the man and I asked him, I said, sir, I said, I'm not going to pray to my God without your permission. And he asked me, he said, who's the God that you serve? I said, I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator of heaven and the earth. And he said, I've heard of him, but we don't serve him. And I said, well, will you allow me to pray? He said, well, my wife's already holding your hand. You go ahead and pray to your God and let's see what happens. And to God be the glory. After we prayed, I got on the phone and her attorney bill was going to be $24,000. Wow. To God be the glory, found her an attorney for $2,400. And it did take some time, but she got everything wiped away. And I won't never forget the letter she wrote me later saying, Mr. Stacy said, I will never forget what your God has done for me. And I'll be honest with you, it was a seed. All I could help to think is, oh, he's done so much more than get you out of this situation. But I get that on a daily basis. I'm not kidding. With international people, it's a blessing with my company. And I get to tell people about Christ and I let them talk as well. I don't, shove it down their throats. I love it. I love people and I love different people. I'm blessed in that. So it's been a blessing really to help others as well.
It's obvious that you care. I love that story. And like you said, you're building these relational bridges that at some point potentially have the capacity to hold the weight of the gospel truth. And you're being Christ to them and giving them opportunity, bringing peace to a very, very difficult time. And particularly for those, I hadn't even thought about that, for internationals who this is new and now they find themselves on the wrong side of the law and they didn't mean to be there. That's an amazing ministry. Well, how did you come about being a pastor as well, Stacy?
Oh, well, that I'll try to make it as short as possible.
Take your time.
I was Baines Chapel here in the Appalachian Conference. Dad was back then the C director which would be the DM director of the conference. And he had looked at me one morning and said, Stacy, said, I've got revival tonight at Baines Chapel. I want you to go with me. I said, Dad, I have a date. I ain't going to church. I got a date tonight. And he said, well, bring your date with you. And I'm like, oh, I don't think so. That doesn't sound fun. And Dad looked at me and said, Stacy, he said, I know the Lord has spoke to me today. And what the Lord has spoke to me is there's going to be the minister's son called in the ministry today. Now, I didn't realize, wasn't even thinking that I was that minister's son. And I looked at Dad and said, so the pastor of that church has a son? He said, oh, yeah, the pastor's son has a church. And I remember looking at my dad and said, I'll go watch that sucker be called in the ministry. And so I called my girlfriend up, which was a pastor's daughter at that time, of actually in the church that I now pastor at. It's sort of neat. But went to that church that night and told the young lady that went with me. And I said, now watch him this whole night when Dad preaches. He's going to be calling the ministry. Dad said this is going to be a preacher's son called the ministry today. Let's watch him. And during the whole service, I'm watching that guy, and it don't even look like he's paying attention. And I keep hitting my girlfriend and saying, look, I said, Dad's preaching his heart out. Why is this guy not getting, you know, convicted or nothing? What's happening here? And all of a sudden, she looked at me and she said, you're a preacher's kid. I'm like, oh, my God, what am I doing here?
And, you were the sucker.
I was the sucker. Well, then my mom, God rest her soul, she passed away last year, but my mom always is real big about don't lay down fleeces. She just was always taught me that. But, you know, being a preacher's kid, being told that, first of all, that you're mean as the devil, second of all, that you're called into ministry, that was always confusing, saying I'm mean as the devil, but I'll be called to ministry. So, you know, when people would say you're called to ministry, I needed to know that I know that I know. And when I sat there in that pew that day and watching my dad preach, I asked God, I said, God, I'll tell you what. I said, this Pentecostal stuff, I've been raised in it, but I like my papa's church a whole lot better. It's Southern Baptist. They get out on time and it's not crazy. I'm going to ask you to do three things tonight. If you do all three things, I know I'm called to Pentecost. But if you do the first two, I'll be a Baptist preacher. And that's what I'll do. And I remember saying that. And my first thing that I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, if you'll use my dad to do an altar call, to allow everyone to come up front. I've seen my dad in the ministry and I've heard him go into his war room and pray and weep and cry. And there's a lot of times that he was by himself. I said, on the day that I'm called to ministry, don't let me be by myself. Have a full altar call up there that I'll know that not only you're going to be with me, but other people's with me. And if you do that, that's step one. Number two, if you will allow some stranger and not my father to come lay hands on me and then prophesy that I'm called into ministry, that I'll know that, hey, I'm called to be a Baptist preacher right there. But it can't be my dad. I kept saying it. It can't be my dad. And then third of all, I said, Lord, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I know he's real, but I've seen a lot of flesh with it. I've seen people fall out in the spirit, and sometimes I think it's real. Most time I don't think it is. But I've never experienced that. If you allow me to fall out in your spirit, I will be a Pentecostal preacher for the rest of my life. Well, this is how it went. Dad preached his message, did an altar call, nobody came. Did another altar call, nobody came. Then my favorite part of church services when I was young, it was time to do the benediction. Dad did the benediction, had his hands raised up in the air, and he was praying to God. And we were closing. I was sitting there wiping my eyebrows, my head. I was sweating because I was scared to death. You know, God was going to do two of the three things. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of Dad's prayer, he speaks out and he said, hey, I don't want to prolong service. But this is what the Lord's telling me. He's telling me that I need to call everybody up to the altar call. And up to the altar. And we need to pray together for some moment. Now, I'm going to tell you something. My sweat turned into a river because I was like, oh, my God, we're only one away and I've got to be a preacher. And two away to be a Pentecostal preacher. Well, I went up the altar. I tell the story. I don't know if y'all have ever done this. Forgive me of being this heathenish. But I'd already talked to God. I didn't need to talk to him when I went to the altar. So I went up there, put my head on the altar, and I was looking around for the first person to jump up. I wasn't talking to God. I was afraid he talked back. So I really didn't go up there to pray. I just went up there to see. Then all of a sudden, my dad came behind me, laid his hand on my on me and saying, God, I know that he's called to ministry. I pray that, Father, you'll speak. And I'm laughing under my breath while dad's praying. I think, God, I told you it couldn't be daddy. Boy, you did scare me, but I promise you I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be a great tither. I'm going to take care of the pastor. I'm going to help where dad had struggles in a pastor. And I'm just sitting there laughing. And when dad gets done praying, I get ready to get up. And all of a sudden, you know, you have that feeling that something's behind you or somebody's behind you. And somebody was behind me, and I barely looked back, and I saw, well, somebody standing there. So I sit still for a second, and this is what came out of a gentleman's mouth. He was an older man, and he said, Lord, I don't even want to do this, but God, I just want to be obedient to you. You told me I'm supposed to lay hands on this young man, and then as I lay hands on him today or go pray for him, to go in the ministry, and I don't even want that responsibility of trying to tell somebody they're calling the ministry, but I'm going to be obedient. And then all of a sudden at that moment, I felt what like an egg yolk is the best way to say it, like cracked on the top of my head and like these fingers spread open. It was on the top of my head. And then when that happened, when the full hand touched the top of my head, boom, I was out. I mean, so guess what? Number one happened, two happened. Three half. I was out in the Holy Spirit. I came out of it. I don't know how long I was out. And I got up. I was so excited telling everybody what happened. And I was so excited. And I looked at the audience. I said, who is the one who laid hands on me? I got to know who is the one. And this older man comes sitting over the side and says, that's not how the story went. I don't like it when somebody's trying to tell me I'm telling my own story. And that's not how the story went. And I said, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. He said, well, I want to tell you how it really went. And he said, well, first of all, when I saw you walk in the church tonight, this is what's great, guys. I want the listeners to catch this. He said that God spoke to him when I walked in the church, that later that evening he was supposed to go pray for me. Now, remember to call me in the ministry. I didn't even ask that when I walked in. I was there to go see somebody else. But God knew the future. God knew I was going to ask. So God was already preparing the way for something I was going to ask for, but I hadn't even asked for. And that's just beautiful. To me, amazing. But he looked at me and said, I did pray with you, but my hand never touched your head. And I said, what do you mean? He said, my hand was about this far from your head. And he said, but before my hand could touch your head, you were out. And I said, no. I felt like an egg yolk. I felt your hand. I know that it was your hand. And he said, son, it's not my hand. And I said, whose hand was it? And he said, it had to be the hand of God. And boom, I fell out in the Holy Ghost right then. So I'll tell you this to anybody who's listening. Ministry is not easy. It has been very difficult. Man, I went through some difficult situations even in my own life that would be too long to share, but it's not always been roses and sunshine and rainbows. There's been times that it's been very hard and dark. But when you know that 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 God's hand touched you and called you in the ministry, and I believe every minister has their own experience that they had with God to show that how could we run from the calling of God, even when everybody else in the world might abandon us. And I don't mind even sharing. I went through an ugly divorce 12 years in my ministry, and it was horrible. But God brought me through it. And I had ministers saying, Stacy, quit. Why are you thinking about getting back in the ministry? I said, man, God's hand touched me years ago, and I don't believe his hand's off of me. And that's a little bit of story about with my ministry but the day I was called into the ministry.
Well, as we hear you saying that, and we've just gotten a few minutes left in this podcast, but just give a couple of suggestions for both those going into ministry and those that feel like their life has taken the wrong turns and they should not continue doing what they know God's called them to do. Just give us a few takeaways before we end this first episode.
I get the privilege of working here at the Appalachian Conference and getting to work with a lot of the new ministers, whether they're young or old. And I tell them my mom gave me some of the best wisdom when I was young when it comes to ministry. I was very young when I started, and she said, Stacy, she said, small church is going to want you because you're young and you're going to have so much energy. Large church is going to want you because they'll be able to use you as well. And so will medium-sized churches want you, but you need to find out where God wants you in the ministry specifically. And I said, okay, mom, but if I'm ministering, doesn't that all that matters? She said, well, it's true, but hell's coming. And I said, what do you mean hell's coming? She said, hell's going to come to the small church, the medium-sized church, and large church. And when hell comes and you don't know that you're called in a certain area, you'll be quick to quit. And that was one of the best things that she's ever told me, because it's been true. I've got to work for large ones, medium, even small ones, and hell's always came. But what has kept me on the track is when I know that I know that I know I'm called to a place that I don't give up. And I also like to tell couples this, especially sometimes when we're young and calling ministry, we think we know everything. I'll be honest with you, the more I learn, the less I know now.
True that. But
I'll have ministers sometimes say, well, I tell you, if God's called me to Africa, my wife ain't willing to go, I'll leave. I had a young minister tell me that once. And I said, look, I said, if God was big enough to talk to Mary and Joseph separately, because you got to remember, Joseph was about to divorce his wife quietly. Should we not, if we feel like we've heard God called us to an area, called us to a place, but our spouse has not heard from God yet, why are we going to be so pushy to our spouse? Mm-hmm. Talk to God and say, God, you have showed me. Now I need you to show them. Because I always say that we need to be one together, and we need to either fly together or fail together. Just be together. Don't just because you're called in the ministry think that you have all the answers, because I can promise you we do not. But God does.
That's right.
And he can speak to both sides.
That's good. Well, thank you for your honesty.
Yes,
thank you. We'll end this conversation, and in the next episode, we'll talk to you about your books. We want our audience to be able to find out more about the books you've written. I'm just so proud of you and in the ways that you are telling your stories. But thanks for the time. And we're just kind of learning life and ministry and leadership together and trying to find ways to make our next steps our best steps.
Thanks for joining us on Next Step Leadership, a weekly conversation dedicated to your personal growth and leadership development. Chris and I are so glad you joined us. You can find us on your favorite podcast providers. Do us a favor and hit subscribe. And if you really want to help us, give us a rating. We so appreciate your support. Check out our show notes for more information regarding guest contact information. Tracy Reynolds' new book, Second Chair Leadership, How to Serve, Thrive, and Lead from Where You Play, is available now at ctracyreynolds.com or Amazon. Chris Maxwell's 11th book, Equilibrium, 31 Ways to Stay Balanced on Life's Uneven Surfaces, is available now at chrismaxwell.me or Amazon, where you can find all of Chris's previous books as well. Our featured music is by Casual Americans. You can find their musical releases at casualamericans.com or your favorite music supplier. We release Next Step Leadership each Thursday, so join us again next week on the Next Step Journey, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step.
What? Ooh, are you the center of the universe?